Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you. We are so happy to be here with you. And my wife, Freddie, is here. I don't know if you've met her or not. I think most of you have. And I'm so thankful that she's here with me. And I'm so thankful that you're here with us. It is great to be together. Thank you for that beautiful music. God really used that, and we're so grateful. Thank you. Well, I'd like for us to have a word of prayer, and then we will study together this passage of Scripture that you just read. But let's pray together right now. Join me. Thank you, O God, for your holy presence with us as we worship you today. Father, we hope that you will be pleased with our worship, with our Bible study, and with the commitment of our lives to you. Lord, thank you for the way you are committed to us and the way you've shown that commitment and that love through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for him, what he has done for us at the cross, what you did for him through the resurrection. And Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings we experience as we serve together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful blessing. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Well, all of you have heard of the Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments, you've heard of those?
Yeah.
Why don't you turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 20, and there you will see the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure you know them quite well, but I thought it might be good for us just for a moment to point them out and just see them together. In Exodus 20, the first commandment is in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment is in verse 4. You shall not make an idol or any image in the form of anything in heaven or earth. Commandment number 3 is found in verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Commandment number 4 is found in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Commandment number 5 is found in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Commandment number 6 is found in verse 13. You shall not murder. The next commandment, number 7, is found in verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 8 is found in verse 15. You shall not steal. Commandment number 9 is found in verse 16. You shall not give false testimony. And commandment number 10 is found in verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to someone else. Those are the Ten Commandments. And God gave those commandments to the children of Israel through Moses, so that they would know how God expected them to live. He wanted them to be able to understand and remember those Ten Commandments. And they were very important. And they are still very important. Those Ten Commandments are still God's word and will for you and me. But there is another commandment. We could call it the 11th commandment. And that's what I want us to study today in John chapter 13. So if you'll turn with me back to John's Gospel, chapter 13, you will see the 11th commandment. Notice what Jesus said there in verse 34. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Do you notice how many times in those two verses Jesus said, love one another? How many times do you count? In those two verses, how many times do you see those words, love one another? Three?
Four.
Four? Four? Okay. Love one another. That's the commandment. Now, let's remember the setting for Jesus' words to his disciples. It was on a Thursday night of the last week of his life before he was crucified before he died for you and for me. He met with his disciples. He knew that he would not be with them much longer. So he wanted to tell them something that was most important. You know, final words are very important. And what he wanted them to know and to remember was that love is the most important thing that you can do to let people know about God, to let people know how much you care about them, and to show them how we are to behave with each other, how we are to relate to each other. Love one another. And it's very important for us to follow Jesus' command, to stay close to him. There was a group of middle school youth on the island of Jamaica, and they wanted to climb one of the Blue Mountains there. That's the name of the mountain range, the Blue Mountains. So a guide said that he would be happy to lead them up the mountain. Some of these middle school young people had never climbed a mountain before. They were nervous. But the guide led the way. It was early morning before the sun came up. They wanted to get to the top of the mountain so they could see a beautiful sunrise. So they began the climb. The young people were a little nervous. And about halfway up the mountain, the guide stopped. And it was dark. And he said to them, I'm going to throw this rock off of the edge of the mountain, and you listen for it when it makes a noise when it lands. He threw the rock, and it seemed like it was a long time before the rock finally landed down in the valley. And that helped the young people to see that it was a long way down if they were to fall. And so the guide said, you must follow in my steps, and you must stay close to the mountain as you hike up the trail. Well, after they had seen what he did, they were ready to follow him. And so, step by step, they followed him up to the top, and they all got to enjoy a glorious, beautiful sunrise. Well, Jesus is like that guide for us. He is our guide. He is our Lord. He knows the way that we are going in life. He's been here. He knows what we experience. He's been tempted like we have been. Everything we experience, he's experienced. And he is saying to us, I know the way. You must follow me. And as our guide, he is saying these important words in John 13, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Think about how Jesus loves you and me. It is a very deep, sacrificial love he showed us on the cross. And he's saying, as you see my love for you, that is how I want you to love one another. Not just members of the church, though that's very important. But love one another when you go out to school, or when you are at work, when you are shopping, when you are at home with your family or your marriage partner. Love one another. Let's look carefully at this love that Jesus is calling us to follow. And I hope everybody has a sermon page. And you will notice four thoughts, four points that I would like to make here this morning about this love that Jesus is saying, I am commanding you to do this. You see, he's not saying, if you feel like it, love one another. He's not saying that. He's not saying, I have a suggestion for you. If it's convenient, love one another. He's not saying that, is he? He is saying, I command you to do that. You must do this. How else will the world know that you're my follower if you don't love each other the way I love you? So, let's look at this love. Let's explore this a little bit together today. Four ways in which we can fulfill and obey this command. First, we love because God first loved us. You see, this kind of love is God's idea, not ours. God knows what is best for you and me, for our relationships. And he is saying, I want you to love that way. I have loved you that way. Now I want you to love each other and love me that way, God is saying. We love because God first loved us. Turn with me to the little letter of 1 John in the back of your New Testament. It is close to the book of Revelation. The little letters of John. And I'd like for you to look at 1 John. There's three of those little letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I would like for you to look at 1 John chapter 4 with me for just a moment. 1 John 4. Notice, by the way, if you want to have some wonderful reading sometime, read this whole letter. Maybe before you go to bed tonight, read this letter. When I was in seminary, I took Greek, and they called it baby Greek because it was introductory Greek, simple Greek. And in that class, we translated 1 John. The Greek in 1 John is some of the simplest that you'll find in the New Testament. And I really enjoyed that because I really got to know what that letter says to us. 1 John 4, look what it says about God's love for us. Verses 7 and 8, dear friends, let us love one another. See, there's that love one another again. Love one another, for love comes from God. See, love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then look at verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete. You see, when we love each other, as God wants us to, people can come to know God, because God gives us that love, and he wants us to live within that love. And as we do, people can get to know him. Verses 19 through 21 of this same chapter, 1 John 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. You see, love comes from God first. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment. There's that word commandment again. He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. God loves us. He is the first love. And we love because he loves us. Frederick Borsch writes about an experience he had with loving his children. They got married, and then a year or two later, they had their first child. And Frederick says, I loved that child so much. I could not imagine us having more children because I only have so much love, and I love this child so much. And he said, I was thinking of love as maybe a pie. And you slice a pie. You know, how many slices do you normally make in your pie? Six? Eight? Two? One? He was saying, I thought of love as a slice of pie, and as I used up one piece, then another, there were just a limited number of pieces, and that would be my love, and when it was gone, there would be no more. And then they found out they were going to be having more children. And his wife had twins. And Frederick said, I had to redefine love. I had to think of it in some other way. Rather than a pie, he said, I began to think of it as an artesian well. Now, an artesian well is a well that seemingly never runs out of water. It is a well that constantly produces night and day because it is getting its water from a nearby mountain. And the water flows under the ground and continually produces water because it is receiving water from a higher source. That is a wonderful way to think about love and God's love. God's love is not diminished by the number of people you love. Right? I mean, do you love everybody in this room? Sure you do. Yeah. Yeah. The love we all share together is wonderful, but it's not limited. It's like an artesian well, and it just keeps coming. The love that we share with one another and with God won't ever run out because we are receiving love from a higher source, right? God loved us first, and that love flows into us, and it is supposed to flow through us to other people. That is loving one another. And it's important for us to let God continually supply this ever-flowing love He wants us to share. The first point I want us to know is we love God because God first loved us. Secondly, our Lord Jesus set a higher standard of love than had previously existed. I won't ask you to go back to your Bibles, but I have the scripture reference here, Leviticus 19:18. That is an important verse. They're all important, but this verse was memorized by all of the Jewish people. It is a wonderful word of God for us. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's wonderful. But Jesus goes beyond that. So turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which is the book right before John. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 27. Remember, we're studying this particular truth that our Lord Jesus set a higher standard of love than had previously existed. And it is love for our enemies. You know, it's easy for us to love each other because we share the same faith. We share the same fellowship. I mean, we ought to love each other. But do you love your enemies like that? Jesus says, you got to. If you're a follower of mine, you need to love people that don't agree with you, that might not like you, they may reject you, but you need to love them anyway. Luke 6, verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And if you want to read all of that paragraph later today, you could go all the way down through verse 36. As Jesus speaks to his followers, saying, you really must love your enemies. Now that goes beyond Leviticus 19:18, which says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus is saying, I want you to love folks who don't even like you. It's not easy. It's a challenge. But the Lord is saying, that's what I want you to do. I want you to love those, anyway, the people who are your enemies. In the Greek language, there are four words for love. And I want us to understand those words today. One word in the Greek language for love is philia. Philia, which is brotherly love. It's love for one another as human beings. Another Greek word for love is eros, which is sexual love. Another Greek word for love is storge. English transliteration of that would be like S-T-O-R-G-A-Y. Storge. That is family love, like you share in your family. The fourth word in the Greek language for love is agape. Have you heard that word before?
Yes.
Agape. It is sacrificial love. It is love that gives from oneself to someone else and gives it in such a self-giving way It's the kind of love that we see in Jesus Christ as he died on the cross for you and for me. That's agape love. Self-giving love. Now, what I want you to realize, here in John 13, the text that we're looking at today, in John 13, verses 34 and 35, where you see him use the word love so much, guess what Greek word he uses there? Agape. He is saying, a new commandment I give you, love one another sacrificially, as I have loved you sacrificially, so you must love one another sacrificially. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another sacrificially. The kind of love that we see at Calvary when Jesus died for us on the cross. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we have to die literally for other people, though there may be a time when we're called to do that. But what Jesus is saying, love one another with a love that really costs you something, with a love that requires sacrifice. That's the kind of love Jesus knew that would make a difference. So, the first two truths about love that we have seen so far is that we love because God first loved us. Secondly, our Lord set a higher standard of love than had previously existed. Thirdly, loving one another as Christ has loved is not easy. You know, sometimes I think all of us prefer life to be convenient and comfortable, right? We all like to be comfortable. We like life to be convenient. But is life always comfortable and convenient for you?
No.
Not for me, not for any of us. Sometimes life is tough, right?
Yeah.
It gets hard. I know you have a little baby in the NICU unit at the medical center, born prematurely, and you and your family are praying, and you are visiting, and you're taking care of that little girl, and it is, but what you're dealing with is hard, right? All of us have challenges, and therefore it's important for us not to expect that the Christian life is going to always be easy. It won't be. Was it easy for Jesus all the time? No. So why would we expect it to be easy for us? So this love that Jesus is calling us to have within us and to share from us, it is a difficult love. It's not easy. But it makes a difference in people's lives. And we must therefore be willing to share that kind of love with other people. On Sunday, August 16th, 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed after taking off from the Detroit, Michigan airport. 155 people were killed. One survived, a four-year-old from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. News accounts say that when rescuers found Cecilia, they really didn't think she had been on the plane because nobody else survived. Investigators first assumed that she'd been a passenger in one of the cars on the highway onto which the airliner crashed. But when the passenger register for the flight was checked, there was Cecilia's name. Cecilia survived because as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula Chacon, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and body around Cecilia, and would not let her go. Her mother did not survive, but Cecilia did, because her mother loved her with a sacrificial love. Not an easy love, but it made a big difference in the life of her daughter when she chose to love that way. When we take Jesus' word seriously and we love someone else sacrificially, it makes a difference in their lives, right? For the kingdom of God, for eternity. So love people. Not when it feels right or when it's convenient or comfortable. Just keep on loving them. And the Lord will be so pleased. So, the three truths that I want us to see so far are these. We love because God first loved us. Our Lord Jesus set a higher standard of love than it previously existed. And loving one another as Christ has loved us is not easy. Fourthly, love is the distinguishing characteristic of the Christian. Love is the distinguishing characteristic of the Christian. Do you see what Jesus said in John 13, verse 35? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, when the Christian faith was just getting started, there weren't very many Christians, and they lived in a pagan society. And all of these other people who had not heard about the love of Christ. They didn't know what agape love was like. And Jesus was telling them, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm going where you cannot follow for a while. But I want you to love other people sacrificially, and that will make all the difference. This pagan world, Jesus was saying, will know that you are my follower when you love them the way I love you. And it did make a difference. And if you read the book of Acts, especially the early chapters, you will see how thousands of people were changed. They became Christians. They were saved from their sins because the early followers took seriously Jesus' words to love them. And to really love them. So it's important for us to understand that kind of love is what Jesus still wants us to show in our day. We too live in a society that is partly or even mostly pagan. We have, of course, a lot of Christians living in our world today, but there are a lot of people who are far from God. There are a lot of people who don't yet know Him as Savior and Lord of their lives. And what is going to draw them to the Savior? Love. Our love for God, His love in us, and the way we love each other, and the way we love those who don't even know us. That's what makes all the difference. It is the distinguishing characteristic of a Christian. Theologian Francis Schaeffer once wrote, "If we do not show love to one another, the world has a right to question whether Christianity is true." I think he's right. Did you agree? I'm going to read that again. If we do not show love to one another, the world has a right to question whether Christianity is true. We really do need to love one another. It's our Lord's command. And it is the best way to live, though it's not always easy. It is how people will know that we're Christian. Two businessmen dressed in very expensive suits, stopped at a restaurant of a large city to have lunch. And as they were being served their soup, the waitress accidentally spilled an entire bowl of soup on one of the businessmen, drenching his suit. Of course, those around in the restaurant saw what happened. They were probably expecting the businessman to become very angry, maybe even to use rough language with this waitress. They were expecting the manager to come out and perhaps fire this waitress. But do you know what happened? These were two Christian businessmen. The one whose suit had been ruined by the soup stood up and talked to the waitress and said, "I'm sorry. What happened? I'm sorry for you. I know you're embarrassed. And I want you to know it's okay. It's okay." He said, "I can take my suit to the cleaners, and they'll clean it, and it'll be just as good as new. Don't you worry about what just happened." Is that Christian love?
Yes.
I mean, would we have reacted the same way? I hope we would. It's very important. I mean, think what a witness that was in that restaurant by this Christian businessman. He valued her more than he valued his suit. And it made the difference in that waitress's life and in that whole restaurant full of people. That's why Jesus said, love that way. That way people will know that you love me and that you are following in my steps. Well, I want us to remember these four truths about love, agape love. The Lord felt it was so important that these were some of his final words that he shared with his disciples. And when that kind of love gets put into action by folks like us, other people's lives are changed. I want to close with one other story. It comes out of the 1930s and 40s. Have you ever read a book by Corrie Ten Boom called The Hiding Place? Anybody read that yet? You might want to write down the name and look it up on the internet. Corrie, C-O-R-R-I-E, Ten, T-E-N, Boom, B-O-O-M, Corrie Ten Boom. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. It tells the story of how she and her family, who lived in Holland, near Amsterdam, in a city called Haarlem, and how they, the family, ended up in a Nazi concentration camp because of the way they showed their love to the Jewish people who lived in their area. Corrie said her family loved the Jewish people. Her grandfather, Wilhelm Ten Boom, started a weekly prayer group in 1844 in the city of Haarlem, near Amsterdam, for the salvation of the Jews. This weekly prayer meeting, amazingly, continued uninterrupted for 100 years until 1944, when the Ten Boom family was sent to a concentration camp for helping Jews flee the Nazi persecution. Corrie tells this interesting story about her father, Caspar Ten Boom. When the Jews were forced to wear the Star of David, identifying them as Jews, Caspar lined up with them to receive a star even though he was not Jewish. He wore it because he wanted to identify himself with the people for whom he and his family had been praying all these years. He so completely identified with the Jewish people and loved them that he was willing to wear this star for their sake. He didn't have to, but he chose it. Corrie and her sister Betsy followed the example of their family, and they both suffered mightily because of their love for their Jewish neighbors. Both ladies, Corrie and Betsy, were taken to a Nazi concentration camp, and Betsy died there. Corrie survived that horrible place and lived to tell her story and write her book about the power of sacrificial love. Freddie and I, last year, Freddie and I, with her sister and brother-in-law, went to Amsterdam, and while there, we went to Haarlem, the city of Haarlem, and we visited the Corrie Ten Boom house. It is on this little bookmark. It's a narrow, three-story house. And in that house, you could see a false wall with a little door where Jewish people hid so that they would not be taken by the Nazis to a concentration camp. I know we stepped inside that little, not very large, is it? For a long time, many Jewish people's lives were saved. And then the word got out, and finally the authorities came and took the family away. It's an awesome experience to stand in that house and to realize in that place for many, many years, the Ten Boom family prayed for the Jewish people and their salvation. In that house, they protected Jewish people from dying in a concentration camp. It was a love they had that even cost them greatly because they too went to a concentration camp. The the example of that kind of love changes us. I don't think I'll ever forget. I don't think you'll ever forget being in that home, thinking about that family and what they endured day after day, night after night, because they loved the Jewish people. They were obeying John 13, 34, and 35, right? And aren't we glad? And when we are obedient to the 11th commandment of our Lord, it will change people's lives. It can change your life. It can change your marriage. It can change your family. It can change this church. It can change our community and our world. So it's important for us to commit ourselves to that commandment. On this bookmark, while we were there, the guide stopped for a moment and asked us to just reflect on Corrie ten Boom and her family, and gave us this card, and I read this poem. It is a poem on this card, on the back of this card. And at the top, it shows an embroidered crown, but it shows the underside. At the bottom, it shows the top side, the beautiful crown embroidered out of gold thread. And the poem that is on this card goes like this. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors he works so steadily. Oft times he weaves in sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget that he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that he has planned. A poem written by Grant Tuller, the embroidery by Corrie ten Boom. So as we close, I just want us to think carefully about our Lord's command to love one another. That is what's going to make a difference in this world for his glory. On my study notes page, I have asked you four questions. They're at the bottom. They're based on the four points of my message today. Question one, what does it mean to you that God loved you before you loved him? All of us have come into his love because his love was already there and it changed our lives. Number two, Jesus sets a high standard of love as he calls us to love all people, even our enemies. How can you live by his standard this week? Thirdly, loving one another as Christ loves us is not easy. It is demanding and difficult. What kind of challenges will you face this week as you love other people as he loves them? And finally, our love for one another is what defines and identifies us as Christians. In what way do you need to make progress through your attitudes, words, and actions so that others will know that you are a follower? I hope that you will prayerfully meditate on those questions and your answers to those questions. And that this week, every day this week, I hope that you will intentionally be obedient to the 11th commandment of our Lord. I hope that all of us, every day, will love other people with an agape depth of love. Let's pray. Father, we need your help. You are that kind of love. And you have given us that kind of love through Jesus Christ, your Son. And now you are calling us to obey that command to live with that kind of love as we relate to all people. Those we already love, those we may not like, with people we may not even know. Help us be faithful, O God. Faithful and obedient. To trust you, to obey you, and to love others as you have loved us. That is our prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.